Hello, friends, and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive Podcast. I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my partner and friend, David Landuli. Welcome,
Hey,
David.
Margaret. We had a good pre-call before he jumped on the show here, just talking about a whole range of things. And you did not tell me what our topic is today.
No, but I'm going
So,
to now. All
all right. Well,
right. So,
I may just hang up.
that would be so like you just to completely bail and leave me on the air alone. So
Not.
here it is. We have spent a lot of time helping our leaders stay in the moments that are hard. We talk about hard conversations. The last show we talked about, navigating through the gut punch. And I thought to myself, do you know what else leaders have a lot of trouble staying with? And it's joy. It's the happy. It's the thing at the other end. Like, I'm not sure when was the last time that I worked with a leader who was comfortable celebrating and was comfortable with acknowledgments and was comfortable to pause for joy. And I think you'll agree. And I would love to tell the story of how this topic came to me. But first, I'm going to give you a moment to catch up and tell me what your experience is with people that you coach.
I can only speak to my own experience, and I would, up until recently, put myself in that column of not pausing to smell the roses. And so a couple of things that have shifted for me is to first recognize how important it is. In my experience of life, I felt like I didn't even know how to describe joy for, till more recently. And so now that I'm not sure I could even describe it to you now, but I know it when I'm experiencing it. Let's put it that way. And there is an ineffable quality to joy that's like that. It's very, very hard to describe. And so with my own battles with depression, over the years, I had very few glimpses of this. So now that more space has opened up as I've matured and gotten older, and a little bit of medication has helped, I do have glimpses now of this, and I am savoring them. But this has been my journey. So up until recently, I would put myself in the category of, oh, okay, that's good. What's next?
I think so many of us. I mean, I think receiving a compliment or an acknowledgement is a great example where people they can't hold your gaze, right? Like they have some reflex in them to look away so that they aren't receiving the kindness. And I think this whole thing about joy is really just it's like, wow, how do we learn how to open ourselves up to that, right? Like how do we let our heart receive the love, how do we let ourselves be loved by the planet, by the people, by the occasions? How do we let that come in? And my inspiration to want to talk about this topic today was that last weekend I was in New York City where my youngest son got engaged. It's a really he and his fiance, new word that I get to say about them. They've been together for a couple of years, and there is not one controversial thing about this. Like I think most of us, when we whether we were on Team Jenny or Team Simon, when they met this potential partner, everybody was like, "Oh yes, this makes sense." So there's a lot of joy. There's not hand wringing, or which I know is spectacular and not always the case. So they did their thing, and he planned a whole engagement, and then they came back into Brooklyn, and my son had called to organize a little surprise engagement party for people who could be there. And they went out to dinner and they walked into this bar, and there were about 20 or 25 of us waiting there. Some of us a surprise, some of whom I think she would have guessed were there. And I was able, which I never would have been able to do years ago, just to open my heart and let myself be saturated by how happy they were together, by the love, for this set of individuals that I love so much, like how beloved they are in their community, how much people went to an effort to show up for them. And it was, I left feeling like I had the fullest tank. You know, it was so beautiful. And so I just really wanted to talk about like, this is a leadership skill too, is training
It
yourself
is.
how to receive the yum, help recharge.
Well, receive the That's good. You can copyright that for sure. There's a whole book in there for you.
Maybe, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. That's first of all, I just want to acknowledge your openness to letting that in.
Yeah, thank you. And I do want to say I feel so proud of myself for getting to this point because I also have gone through phases where, you know, I might have stopped short of, not always, sometimes I stop short of severe or clinical depression, but I certainly have spent my time in a place that felt very blue. And it feels like you're never ever going to figure out how to do that, right? It's almost when we feel depressed, it's like we're disconnected from the wavelength of joy. We can't find it again, right?
Absolutely.
Feels that way.
I mean, it was for me, it was either if we were to think about a graph chart from high school or whatever, you got the horizontal axis, right? And joy is above the axis and depression is on the other end of it. For me, it was either baseline or down, most of my life. And so, but now I'm more like baseline up. And so here's the like paradoxical thing is like I think folks who haven't experienced that, those depressive episodes or the blue, as you say, maybe don't even appreciate the joy as much as you and I do,
And
because it's so contrasting. So if you've always been up, well then what's more up?
yeah.
So you get
I don't know. Do you
desensitized
believe,
to
I'm
it.
not sure there are people out there who only hang out in the up, David. I don't think life works that way, but
I don't
maybe,
think so.
but I don't think
But
so.
I do like that you just to share with the audience, what I took the opportunity to acknowledge Margaret here in the moment. It's a way she was being. So an acknowledgement is different than a compliment. I was just so folks, because I was skip past that really quickly. But I acknowledge for how you were being, who you were being, which is open. That's a way of being, to be able to allow your heart to receive that. Now, when I went through coach training, I had a very difficult time giving and accepting acknowledgments. But that is one of the things that cracked me open to this experience of joy. And this was very intentional on CTI's part in the training, because we were always doing acknowledgments, always in every course. I mean, and I learned to allow to be with those instead of just brushing them aside, to really let it soak in. And that was part of my journey. And I think what you're pointing at is, even if somebody gives you a compliment, people brush them off.
Oh, this old thing. Yeah. Like, no.
Like a
Don't do
compliment
that.
is more like what you did or what you're wearing or how you look. But an acknowledgement is something that goes deeper. It's like, I see something inside you.
I got an acknowledgement like early on in CTI where somebody looked in my eyes and said, and like with almost shock and awe said, "You are really strong." And it was such a beautiful thing. It took my breath away, like in the moment, you know. And then also, it still brings tears to my eyes. Like it was such a powerful thing. And I think that's the doorway, like, to this practice of opening up to joy. Like, oh my God, somebody saw something in me. I've been seen. That's such a joyful feeling, right? Somebody
I
sees
will
something
say
beautiful in me.
that joy, that joy connection is a two-way connection. And this is something we were talking about before we got on the show, was that I was listening to a neuroscientist talk about the energy of the brain and the energy of the heart. And, you know, I can't remember the exact numbers, but the electromagnetic energy that the heart puts out is like 100 times greater than the electromagnetic energy of the brain as an organ, just as an organ of the body, right? And this has been documented. So for the neuroscientists in the audience, forgive me if I've misstated the order of magnitude of this, but it's about like that. So what happens is, whether you are on a phone call or whether you're on a Zoom chat as we are now, or whether you're in person, when you give the acknowledgement, it's an expression of love to the other person. Now, if you are on the receiving end, you can deflect that love coming your way, or you can accept it. So it becomes like this two-way street of love and joy if you allow it to flow, but you can cut off the flow by
Right.
not receiving.
Yeah. And then you're really missing out, right?
Both people miss out, because the
Yeah.
person who shares the acknowledgement is like, "Ooh, that didn't go so well. You know, did I do something wrong? Did I say something?" You know, it'll be like that. I've had that
Yeah.
happen, you know, to me, and I now I realize, oh no, that's not me. You know, I was in integrity. I was sending the love over there, and they're just not ready to receive it, you know.
Yeah.
But also being open, so you can derive great joy. I do. I experienced this even in the moment when I was giving you the acknowledgement of actually giving, acknowledging someone. You get to experience joy,
Yeah.
and then
So
the joy comes back to you from the other person.
right. What I love about that is I think, you know, kind of I love this topic of what are some of the things we can do and the practices we can have that do begin to open our hearts to receive more and more joy. And I think offering an acknowledgement. But something else that I really want to say, I think a compliment comes from our brain. You know, it's a noticing of something that somebody's wearing. And I do not want to throw compliments under the bus. I mean, it's lovely to get a compliment, it's lovely to give a compliment. But an acknowledgement really comes from the heart. Because you have to recruit your heart to actually see and feel something about the other person. So it's a different art to give a compliment versus giving an acknowledgement.
I think for leaders, it even for me, up until 10 years ago, you know, giving a compliment was quite easy. You know, and encouragement, compliment, and they're necessary, I think, in the workplace, in the family. But when I learned this secret, when I access the secret weapon of acknowledgement, it's like, and it's in my arsenal now, and you can pull it out anytime and
Yeah.
just shoot love at people's way.
It's true. And we do this with some regularity in workshops where we help people discover about themselves that if you just stop talking and look at another person and you allow your heart to know something that we know a lot, right? We know a lot about other people that we can see and appreciate that are beyond their words, beyond what they share, right? Like we just know things. And that's kind of, I feel like, where the art of the acknowledgement comes from, is allowing yourself just to see something in another person.
I remember being terrified of the acknowledgement line exercise, which we use. You know what I was, you knew where
In
I was going.
fulfillment, yes. I thought, how am I supposed to know what to say to people? What the, I don't even know these people.
There's like 24 people in the room, and you're lining up, in two lines, and you're gonna give 23 acknowledge, and you're going to stand in front of this person and stare at them and not say anything until something comes out of your heart. I was going to say mouth, but it really comes out of your heart.
And then through your
Right?
mouth, but yes.
And I was terrified of that. And
Were you terrified of hearing, or of, like, that you weren't going to know what to say to other people?
the latter, that I would run out of like things to say,
Yeah, me too.
but I
That's what I
never
was
did.
about.
I never did. And I was also very pleasantly surprised. This is where the joy can come in on the receiving end of acknowledgement. If someone really gives it with heart and sees something in you, often you don't see it in yourself. And that can bring, that always brought me great joy when people saw things in me that I had never seen in myself.
Right. Or even things that you hope other people see, and then to realize that they do.
Yeah, that too. But in my case, it wasn't that. It was
That's
because
not
my inner
what
critic was so strong.
happened.
And we've talked about this on the show, not just me, a lot of people's inner critic is so strong that when that judge, that self-critical voice, would never acknowledge the what people say to you, what they see in you. And I had to set that aside. I was aware enough to realize I had to set that voice aside and just let it wash over me and let it, receive it. Because that inner critic would, no, that's not me. No, that's not me. He's not like that.
My experience with that line. So I live in Colorado, and my first workshop had been in Colorado, and then you have to take the second one second. And I couldn't make the dates in Colorado, and so I ended up doing it in New York and combining it with a family visit. But the point of that is, I got there and all the people knew each other because they had done the first one together, and I felt like this real outsider, which was a pretty loud voice in my head the entire time. And it was probably the first or the second or the third person who gave me an acknowledgement. And this was a man who was Canadian. He was just a He had a big heart, that I could see about him, but I hadn't had a conversation with him yet. And I don't remember what he told me, but I remember he took my breath away. Like, the generosity of what he somehow had witnessed in me without us ever having a conversation, kind of blew my mind. And then I wanted to be able to do that. And you know what? I didn't have the muscle yet. I've gotten better at it over the years, but I did my best. And
I am it this takes practice, folks. This isn't the only way you get to experience joy and help others experience joy. But it's one way in a leadership context
I have another
where,
one to
go
share.
ahead. What's another good joy tool in your belt?
We're going to call this a savoring practice.
Oh,
And it's,
yes.
at the one of the very low points of my divorce and COVID, and having a really gutting relationship, I was given by my amazing therapist this exercise to just start savoring things. Before you have that first sip of coffee in the morning, hold it in your hands and feel, the ritual of it and the heat on your hands and smell it, and, like, just make yourself be present. for the, what, even if the joy is this big, like a little tiny, kernel of joy as opposed to a giant wave of joy. And then again, when you get in the shower, allow yourself to notice the privilege and the amazing feeling of hot water on your skin and washing things off. And throughout the day, if you see flowers at the grocery store, can you throw them into your cart and put them on your counter and just notice them over and over and over again? And how do you keep delivering these little baby love letters to yourself? And that's been a really powerful practice for me.
The two things from our positive intelligence methodology that I've worked with clients on and myself is the morning routine is one of them. And I also have the sense of smell is a very powerful sense. It's overlooked by vision and touch and hearing in our modern culture, but smell resides in us in a very primitive way. And so, like I have a whole morning routine, and preparing the coffee is part of that. But yeah, the scooping out of the beans and the smelling of the beans before I grind the beans, and then the opening of the pumpkin spice jar and the scooping and the smelling of the pumpkin spice before it goes into the beans. And it can be like that, but that's savoring the experience. Or I was sharing this story with somebody else recently, and they said, "Oh, you have it's like mind." I said, "This is kind of like a Japanese tea ceremony." And her answer was like, "Yeah, it's like mindful coffee making."
Yeah, absolutely.
So savoring is another way to experience joy, and practicing that every day in your morning routine. So some people rush through their morning routine the way they rush through compliments and acknowledgments. They just kind of just keep going. And I will share that there's another word that is coming up that's along with savoring is satisfying. Satisfying. That is, if you can allow yourself to be satisfied with work that you've done or anything. In my case, many of you in the audience know I competed in jiu-jitsu for many years, and I won a world championship along the way, and I wasn't as quite along this path of joy that we're talking about here. And there was some joy in that experience the first time around, but that was a blue belt. But the experience that was so satisfying for me was winning the Pan American Championship at brown belt. Like, that was really satisfying. It's not as prestigious an award, but it was way more satisfying, and I savored that for quite a while. Whereas, again, if you're in any kind of competitive business or athletics, you tend to want to go on to the next thing before you really appreciate, enjoy, there's that word, be satisfied. Like, there's also the inner critic will never let you be satisfied with your performance,
I love
especially if you have a
the metaphor of like, well, we all know that you get to your brown belt and you're not done yet. I mean, right? Like everybody who gets to a brown belt is thinking about how to get to the next thing. So to be able to just pause on the next thing and enjoy that victory is right? There's that metaphor in there is great.
It is, right? Yeah, exactly. And so I do think that the speed in the culture is an impediment to this work that we're this practice we're talking about. So it does take some slowing down, like even to give someone an acknowledgement. Like you can do this in a one-on-one meeting with someone who works with you. Like you will blow that person away if you just say something when they're sitting one-on-one with you that it comes from your heart, whatever that is, whatever you're
And
feeling in that moment.
an
Again, it's not a
acknowledgement
compliment.
importantly starts with the words, you are.
You are. Or what I appreciate about you is, and then some way they're being. Like, or what I love about you is blank.
And that it's you're talking about a quality
Yes.
over an appearance or over how they've performed on something. It's really something that's more in the texture of who they are as a human.
Yeah. And it could be even something like this would be more as an entry point. Somebody's worked on a project and you could say something, wow, I'm just blown away by your rigor. Like that would be like a tiptoe in.
And
It's
I
a
can
way of
say,
being rigorous is a way of being.
David, what I love about you is that you are so game for adventure that you were willing to come on a podcast without me sharing the title with you or the topic. And that you trusted and you came on here with an openness and a playfulness. And I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you. And I'm getting some tears now. So that's the impact.
And I want to just before we close and sign off here, ask you please to share the joyful news because we talked about the gut punch last time we
Oh,
recorded.
right.
So please take us back to your moment of joy with the
Well,
lovely Lillian last week.
yeah, the joy was we again, contrast. I remember, oh, what I'll just the setup for, if you didn't listen to the previous episode was my wife was recently diagnosed with a melanoma, which is a very serious cancer diagnosis. And so I walked in the door one night and she's on the phone with the dermatologist and like I could just see in her face the concern. We're so connected and both very sensitive. I was like, whoa, what's going on? And she told me the labs came back and it's a melanoma. So I was like, oh boy. So there's the gut punch, right? And then so I went they had biopsied, so we set up with a surgeon to go cut a nice quarter size chunk out of my wife's cheek. And so that went well. And of course you're waiting for the results. And then we got the result that it was they had gotten everything, and we definitely savored that. And another way of experiencing joy and expressing joy is through gratitude. That's another practice,
It
like
is.
being thankful.
And David shared the joy with me. He and Lillian were having a beer to celebrate together, and he sent me a photo so that I could be part of the celebration as well, which is another, right? Just a little
Yes.
like ask somebody else to be happy for you, right? Like bring them in on your celebration and gratitude
Right.
as they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you were concerned, and I appreciated your concern. By the way, being concerned for someone else is a way of showing your love also.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wanted to relieve your any, concern that you had. And of course, that was joyful too, just to be able to share the good news.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So wow, we covered a lot of ground. So thank you,
Yeah.
Margaret. This is a leadership practice of joy, and it will, the more joy you allow yourself to experience and the more joy you give out in the world to others, the more enjoyable your workplace will be.
Yeah. And we usually do try to encourage people to try something. And I feel like giving an acknowledgement, if that is not a practice that you have, please practice it.
So, Margaret,
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to work on the show notes. Maybe you could put in the show notes some of the examples of so folks can, what I love about you, what I appreciate about you. You are blank. Just put it in the show notes for folks, and then you can practice this,
Will do.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
See you next time.